here.
Thank God so much for his blessings. Wonderful privilege to attend a conference. It's a privilege and an awesome responsibility to be a speaker.
Amen.
And we pray we'll be a speaker for God, be his mouthpiece here this afternoon. And you pray for us. We're thankful for all Lord's blessings, thankful for all your prayers. Many have prayed for us, and thankful for this church, blessing it's been to us through the years. Thankfully, God has helped us, and since our last procedure, we've fared much better than we have for a number of years, and we rejoice to be able to live through a day without excruciating pain. It's a blessing you don't realize till you've done it for a while, and then the Lord blesses, and then you can go back to living more. We're 58. We've got the sore, the aching knees and shoulders, one thing another like that. But just the pain that we dealt with for about a year and a half or so, God allowed. Like one brother preached, we needed the great physician. And God was that, and I believe God had his hand in all of that. But we pray God will bless as we are with you here. Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, very familiar text. 2 Kings chapter 5. Been a conference or so ago, I shared a little tidbit about our grandchildren. Brother Graber was talking about being a new grandpa, so forth, and it's a wonderful thing to be a grandpa. We enjoy it immensely. You don't realize sometimes what they pick up on, and you don't realize how attentive to details they are. I told a story about little Zach when he was younger. Went through a phase of where he wanted to play pirate and run around with a sword and jumping around saying hot mayonnaise, and Brent and I couldn't figure out for the longest time, where in the world is this coming from? And he'd watched a little cartoon thing, and the pirate in the cartoon was jumping around saying ahoy mateys. But Zach got it, hot mayonnaise. And I got to watch myself say too much. He was about 4 years old back a few years back, and I said something in the pulpit. He come charging down the aisle after the amen. We always, Brenda and I, walk down and shake hands, greet people as they leave, and he come charging out of the seat, come down there and smack me in the side of the leg, and, "Papa, you embarrassed me." I didn't know a four-year-old boy knew what embarrassment was. But the other day I was preaching about how the Lord came down, took upon him the form of the flesh, was born without sin, lived without sin, and how humbling it was and how he did that to be our Savior and so forth. And he was sitting next to my wife, Brenda, during the service. And you got to understand, Zach, he's going about 9 years old now, and he's pretty precocious. He got a good dose of Titus in him. And anyway, I talk about how the Lord never sinned. He never cried out of when he didn't have to, and so forth, and he always was obedient, so forth. And Zach patted my wife on the leg and says, "Grandma, you mean he never disobeyed? He never got in any trouble as a little boy?" And Brenda said, "That's right, Zach." Zach looked up at her and says, "Wow, I bet you his mom sure was glad." So, kids listen more than they pick up on more than you might think. But we hope the Lord will bless, and we'll pick up on God's message this afternoon. Let's turn to the book of 2 Kings. Chapter 5, verse 1, a very familiar account. Title of our sermon this afternoon is The Message Around the Miracle. There's a wonderful miracle of God that takes place in this chapter. And it's a wonderful miracle of not just healing, but this whole account is a wonderful testimony to the sovereignty of God and the working of His providence in lives and the bringing together of situations and things in a way. And this whole event ultimately brought about a time of peace between Samaria and Israel. And God used it all in His plan and purpose, like He does everything in our lives as His people and His churches. But there are some things around this great miracle that the Lord's laid on our hearts, the Lord's given us to share with you and pray for us as we do. And we pray certainly God get all the honor and the glory. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, bless your word as we look into it today. Father, I pray you'll just uphold me and use me as your mouthpiece in this place, in this moment of time. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Guard my mind, guide my tongue. Help me to say only that which is pleasing unto thee and according to thy will and thy way. Help us, Lord. You know we are but dust. You know our great needs of life. Pray for others who are in special need at this time. Pray for our Aunt Cynthia and pray for all the family. We pray, dear Lord, for Brother Brown and others we know of that are in, very earnest physical needs at this time, and just ask you to help and to take charge in all things to your honor and your glory. Father, once again, bless now this service and this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In considering here the message around the miracle, we see several things and several aspects of people's lives around this healing of the leper Naaman, and this again is a wondrous miracle to the it's a wondrous testimony to the power of God. But we see several things to consider besides just the miracle. First of all, we begin with the little maid. Some forget all about the little maid when they read this account. Beloved, this little maid is a wondrous witness. Our first thought along the lines of what we find here in the scriptures is, don't let some hard knocks diminish your faith. Don't let some hard blows keep you from following your faith, keep you from living by faith. Beloved, which of us here today has not had some challenges, some hurts, some blows of life, some ills against our old flesh as we've lived in this world, had to have maybe to deal with physical needs, maybe emotional needs, maybe financial needs, any number of ways. Which of us have not had some dreams dashed and some hopes crushed and some things happen in the course of God's providence that, humanly speaking, if we could have avoided them, we probably would have.
Right.
I mean, if the Lord gave us the choice, we'd say, oh, Lord, I'd really rather not go through that if it's all right. But, beloved, God knows. And here this little maid, consider this young woman. Every dream, every hope, every desire, everything she ever thought of as she grew up in any kind of life or normalcy was gone, was wiped out, was taken from her. I'm sure she didn't go through her life thinking as she was growing up, well, I can't wait till this marauding band of Syrians come along and tear up our town, maybe kill my relatives and cart me off and make me a slave girl. I'm sure that wasn't her dream. I'm sure that wasn't her desire. I'm sure that probably never entered her mind as she was growing up. But that's exactly what happened to her. Any dream, any normal sense of what one would expect in a future in her life was gone, was ripped from her. And yet, her faith in her God wasn't gone. Yet her faith in God wasn't diminished. It wasn't lost. We don't see someone abiding in bitterness and hopelessness and discouragement and so forth. And here she's in the house of Naaman. We see her testimony in verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Syria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Instead of a broken, bitter young woman whose all her normal hopes and dreams were dashed and gone, instead we see a great witness. Instead we see an earnest faith. Instead we see a true, supreme confidence in her God. Oh, would God that my Lord Naaman was with the prophet of Israel. God could recover him. They didn't have the miracles of modern medicine we have. But they had a prophet named Elisha.
Amen.
And this little maid believed in the power of God. In spite of all that had happened to her. In spite of being ripped away from home, in spite of all her hopes and dreams gone, in spite of everything she grew up with and loved being taken from her, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that was in Israel. What a testimony this little maid is. You know, we think of some great men and women of God in the Bible, and so often some might think of Abraham and Sarah. We might think of Moses. We might think of Paul. But how often do you think of the little maid? And yet this little maid, in her situation, in her condition, whoa, what a mighty witness.
Amen.
What a wonderful witness. Oh, how she acted on her faith. Instead of writhing and just seething in bitterness and disappointment and disgust with everything that had happened to her, from a heart of real compassion, she said, oh, I would to God my master was there with the prophet in Israel. He could recover him, his leprosy. God could work a miracle through his man if Naaman was just there with him. Oh, beloved. We also see the Bible describes this young lady as a little maid. Verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. She waited on Naaman's wife. She wasn't great of stature. She was in a you know, a demanding, difficult situation. But she didn't let her situation keep her from speaking up for God. Oh, how we need to learn from that.
Amen.
We're in a situation in America today where people are very, very, very open and proudful and arrogant, and are, you know, anytime you look at any news reports, someone's standing up shouting at the top of their lungs for some perversity or some abomination. And yet, have we become afraid? Have we become quiet? Have we think, well, what can we say? What can we do? Look at our situation. Beloved, this little maid spoke up for God, and her words reached the king's ears.
Amen.
Wherever we are, whatever situation we're in the workplace or in our towns and places we live at, if we have the opportunity to speak up for God, may we do so.
Amen.
May we not consider, oh, well, you know, who's going to hear us, or who's going to pay attention, or who's going to, you know, think anything of what we say. Speak up for the Lord. Let the Lord work. Let the Lord do. This little maid spoke up, and her words ended up all the way to the king's ears. And the king of Samaria acted upon the words of this little maid. Oh, beloved, sometimes we think too much of ourselves and our situations. Sometimes we think, hey, you know, we can't be used, or, you know, what's the use of, you know, the way the world's going, the way the country's going, what's the use? Beloved, there's always a cause to stand up and speak up for God.
Amen.
I like David when he was going forth, and he come and he saw the giant that was demeaning Israel and speaking down to the army of Israel and so forth. And David went around asking about him. And his brother said, you just need to pipe down. You just need to settle down. You little ruddy youth, David, you just need to quiet. And David stood up and said, is there not a cause?
Amen.
Is there not a cause? Isn't there a cause to stand up, to speak up? Oh, beloved, I would to God we might consider this more in the day and age, the times that we live. Then we see on down here, moving from the little maid, we see Naaman the leopard. He was sent by the king, and they first went to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel reacted totally as if God didn't even exist and so forth, and rent his clothes and so forth, and But Elisha sent to him and said, send him to me.
Amen.
And he'll know that there's a man of God still in Israel. In verse 9 in this text, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elisha sent unto him a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. Now, isn't that what happens to a lot of us?
Right, amen.
God leads, God moves, God directs, God takes hold of us, but it don't go just according to what we think. And we get all bent out of shape. We get all twisted up inside. We get all, you know, lathered up. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. Beloved, how many times has pride and our preconceived notions kept us from the blessings of God? How many times has our old foolish pride and our old ideas and our thinking about stuff kept us from the blessings, kept us from the experience and the fullness of the blessings of God? How many times have we gotten upset with God because things didn't go just the way we thought? I have to confess, I've been there a time or two. It's never good for you. It's never a good place. It's never a place you may get there, but by the grace of God, you sure don't want to stay there.
Amen.
But Naaman was wroth. You know, Naaman was a mighty man of valor. And just picture the sight here. Just picture in your mind the glorious sight, named big old captain of the Syrian army, and he come charging up on his chariot in front of the house of Elisha. Must have been a sight to behold. And Elisha didn't even go and meet him at the door. Elisha didn't even show him the respect to answer the door himself. Elisha didn't even show him the respect to call him in and speak with him personally. Sent a servant out. Go tell him to go dip in Jordan River 7 times and he'd be healed. It didn't go according to plan, did it? And it almost cost Naaman one of the most wondrous blessings of God. Beloved, it cost you and I the same thing.
Amen.
Our pride and our preconceived notions and you know, being all just been out of shape because something, some way, somehow didn't go as we thought. It'll hurt us.
Amen.
Not only was Naaman wroth, but look at what it said on here. It says, I thought, verse 11, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. You know, I think some of these yahoos on TV that go around and, you know, doing all this so-called healing, I think maybe they read something here. Isn't that pretty much what they do? You know how they do it? They said, well, people think this is the way it ought to be done. We probably ought to act this way. And they put their show on and go on. And if there's any healing done, it's not by the power of God. But this is what Naaman thought. I thought he'd surely come out. You know, and he'd respect me and show honor to me. And I thought he'd stand and he'd call upon the name of his God. And he'd strike that place. And oh, when he struck the place, oh, the leprosy would. That's not God's plan. That wasn't what Elisha said to him. And it says, are not Abana and Farfar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage.
Amen.
I mean, he wasn't just a little upset. He was furious. Oh, he was on fire. He was just so enraged. But then came a voice of reason. And where'd it come again? Come from a servant. Come from an unexpected source. You know, how many of us, going about our lives, going about our ministries, haven't we at times, some way or another, received a message of the Lord from an unexpected source?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, beloved. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? You know, the servants come and said, look, Naaman, if he told you to, you know, there's a garrison of 50 enemy soldiers up there, you march up that hill and you take that garrison by yourself. Man, old Naaman would have hopped into a chariot, drew his sword, and went charging on, you know. But an insignificant thing, a humbling thing, a thing which put aside all his prestige and human power and that which he was used to relying on. Now, beloved, it's been said and said and said in this conference already. We can't rely on ourselves. We can't count on. We go out in our own strength, we're going to fail. We're going to falter. If David had tried to go out and face Goliath in Saul's armor, thinking that somehow that human armor and stuff was going, you know, he'd have failed. David told Saul, I can't, you know, I haven't proved them. I can't wear this stuff. He said, the God that delivered me from the bear and the lion is the same God that delivered me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Oh, beloved, let us lay aside our pride and preconceived notions And let's humble ourselves before the Lord. Amen. Does not our Bible still tell us in the book of James chapter 4, God resisteth the proud.
That's right. Amen.
But he giveth grace to the humble. He giveth grace to the humble. Naaman humbled himself and said, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Oh, Naaman, this is wondrous to think about. Naaman left his house in the hopes of a physical healing. And when all was said and done, he had a real relationship with the true and living God of heaven. Now, Naaman got healed, but he got more than that day, beloved. He got a much greater blessing than that. He got a much greater blessing than his physical healing. He came to know the true and living God. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, and you can see the change in this man's heart. You can see the fact that more than a physical change took place here, but a spiritual change. More than the understanding of a physical healing, we see an understanding of a spiritual healing. And he said, and Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given thy servant 2 mules, burden of the earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice to other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. See, Naaman knew he had to go back. He knew he had to go back to the idolatry and the paganism and that. And he knew from his position he'd have to accompany the king into that house of false worship. And he said, I want you to know, I know the true and living God. But as I go back and I have to do my duty, pardon me. Pray for me. Intercede for me. And Elisha said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Now we see another character into the picture. Oh, Gehazi. Verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Oh, beloved. Don't let the getting of things be the ruin of your life. We've been so blessed so long. We've had the privilege of having so much so often. And I've seen it and seen it and seen it and seen it through the years. I've seen it in dear friends I grew up with. I went to church with. Was saved with, worshiped with. I've seen it in the lives of church folks here and there through the years. The getting of things be the ruination of their life. Oh, it's available to us. Oh, everybody else is getting it. Everybody else is going for it. I'm going to get mine. That's just what Gehazi said. He said, Elisha can pass it by. Elijah can forsake it. Elisha can say, I'm not going to have a part in it. But oh, Gehazi said, as the Lord liveth, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get me some. And Gehazi let the getting of things be the ruin of his life.
Right.
He forsook Elijah. He forsook his duty. He went forth and he lied to Naaman. He come back and he had to lie some more to Elisha. But you know, you can't lie to God.
Amen.
Can't lie to God. Can't get by God. Psalm of David said back in Psalm 139, you know, that if I think the darkness will cover me or something like that, you know, even the night is light about me. Verse 25, it says, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and man servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Oh, Gehazi, he was blessed to minister, to serve beside Elisha. He was blessed to be a witness of the power of God over and over and over. And yet, he let the getting of things be the ruination of his life. Oh, I tell you, beloved, if we're not careful, what did Paul tell young Timothy? He said, they that will be rich pierce themselves through with many sorrows. He spoke of those that have erred from the faith for the getting of things, for the having of things, for the possession of things. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Paul said, the love of money, not money. God blesses money and God uses money. And God's work needs money and God's work has been blessed and multiple. But the love of money is the root of all evil, which why some coveted after. What is covetousness but idolatry? Bible tells us. Is it not putting something in place of God? Is it not giving something the preeminence instead of God? For the sake of some things, Gehazi's life. And again, it's like it was mentioned earlier, it didn't just affect Gehazi. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. Over the getting of a few things. Over the possession of a few. Over the wanting and lusting and coveting for just a few carnal things. Bad enough, Gehazi left the presence of Elisha a leopard. But that leprosy would be on his sons and his son's sons and his family forever. Oh, beloved, there's nothing worth it. There's nothing in this world worth it. Then lastly, this afternoon, beloved, let's go back up here and look at the words of Elisha. Have we today, having lived so long in the prosperity that has been, and despite what everybody says, I think Brother was preaching, my mind went blank on his name just now, but talking about even as bad as people say it is, we've got it awful good. But have we had it so good so long? Have we forgotten what time it is? Have we forgotten what time it is? Look at the words of Elisha in verse 25. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments, olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants? What time is it, beloved? Beloved, this is not our time to be consumed with the getting. But let this be the time we concentrate on giving.
Amen.
Giving back to the Lord for what He's given unto us. Giving unto others where we might be a help and a hand. Bless my heart to hear of the wonderful offerings for Sister Lawrence and the family. Blesses our heart that Zork Church has been able to be a part of that to some degree. Now's not the time just to be consumed with the getting. Now's the time to give. Beloved, our time is coming. Our time of eternal estate and reward with the Lord, crowns of glory, a home prepared in heaven, a place prepared for you, Jesus said. That time's coming. What time is it now? Brother Hamill started the conference. It's a time for salting and shining. It's a time for sowing. It's a time for serving. It's a time for standing. And beloved, if need be, it's a time for suffering. It's a time for suffering. Elisha says, is it a time to receive monies, to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants? What time is it, beloved? Is it just for us to be consumed with the getting? Just to be consumed with our own selfishness and lust? Just to be consumed with that which we want? No. It's time to serve. It's time to sow. It's time to be that salt of the earth and that city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. I've used this illustration before, and I think someone alluded to it. But this vehicle, we bought a program car here a year or so ago, a 2010 Chevy. And it's one of them cars that when you turn the key on, the lights just automatically come on. And it's supposed to be a safety feature. And I guess it is. Might just be a subplot to sell more headlights. I don't know. Anyway, the lights come on just as soon as you turn the key on. Well, go out in the middle of the day and start your car, go drive. You can't tell the lights are on. But you know, you let it get towards the evening time. You let it get towards nighttime. And those lights that's been shining and shining, they don't get any brighter. They just show up more. You can just, because the darkness around you, the lights show up more. That's the way it is with us. This whole world's getting darker and darker around us. We don't have to do something different. We just got to keep on keeping on. We don't have to change. We don't have to rearrange. We don't have to look for something. We just need to keep on being true to the Lord. We just need to continue to realize, what time is it? It's time to serve the Lord. It's time to follow Him. It's time to be used of Him in His service. It's time to be the city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And the darker that this old world gets, the brighter we're going to shine. And it's not by doing something different.
That's right.
It's not by anything new and improved. It's not by, you know, some kind of revamping or reconfigure. It's just by keeping on what the Lord's servants and the Lord's churches have been since Jesus established His first church.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, beloved, may God help us know what time it is. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to realize what time it is.
Amen.
Time is short. time is short. Paul said, behold, today's the day. Now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. Lost sinner, if you're here in this assembly, you realize this might be the only time you have to consider where you're going to spend eternity. Is the Lord dealing with your heart today? What time is it? Sometimes we live like we've got a whole lot more time than we've got. I'm as guilty of that as anybody. But beloved, who knows what a day may bring forth. God bless you for the day.